Hello and welcome to the Ham Radio Crash Course Podcast, our weekly podcast where I drag my wife through all kinds of interesting things about ham radio. Without further ado, let's get started. Well, hello again, Leah. How are you doing today?
I'm doing great.
Good.
I was actually studying a band plan.
Oh, yes. I caught her doing a little homework beforehand. She was looking at a band plan.
And I was just, I still don't understand how the band location or the megahertz translates to a wavelength.
Well, we're going to talk about that today. That is the show topic.
It just appears to me that people just memorize or they look at a chart when they're operating to know, like, you know, if they're on 40 meters or 20 meters. That nobody actually calculates where they are in terms of meters.
We will break all that down for you. But we do have a show, so to speak, a format, if you will. I actually am adding something to the show, and I'm going to get into it right now. So we got a couple of comments like, we should start out with just like a ham radio quick thing. And I thought this would be a perfect opportunity to just talk through some of the questions I get, like a lot. The questions I get over and over, like
every day.
And I do. I get literally some of the same questions over and over every day. So we'll start out with those heavy hitters, and then we'll work our way through the backlog of all the interesting questions that I've gotten over the years. But today is going to be, what handheld antenna should you buy for your handy talkie? And I have some handy talkies here in front of me. Would you like to hold them?
Is that literally why there is a tennis ball canister full of antennas in front of me?
The tennis ball canister is
that
my preferred.
That you stole from me,
no,
by the way.
False. I bought these tennis balls.
Okay.
And they are under the legs of my 3D printer. They stabilize the 3D
printer.
Then
where's my other canister?
I don't know. I took two. But I bought two canisters of tennis balls. So
I thought you were going to say, I took two.
That's not yours.
But I only bought one.
That's right. No, I bought two. So yeah, I have a, by the way, that's another pro tip. An empty tennis ball tube is perfect to hold antennas in. Just point the base of the antenna down towards the bottom, and you just let the aerial stick out. They work great. So I get tons and tons of questions on which antenna I should get or anyone should get for the handy talkies they have. The obvious answer is obviously get an antenna that matches the transmit capability of your radio. So I'm assuming most people have dual band radios. So they're going to have a 2 meter antenna and they're going to have a 70 centimeter antenna. It's the same antenna. It's built into the same antenna. So the one you're holding right now is a Yaesu FT60. That was my first ham radio, by the way. And on it is a diamond. You want to read
dirty.
That SH number off the... It's dirty. Thank you. Read that SH number, model number off of it.
SRH77CA.
So that's about a 14-inch antenna. And it works really, really well. And it's a great antenna, you know, if you want to try and receive a difficult repeater.
How does it do 2 meter and whatever other meter you just said?
So you see about halfway down, there's like a little kind of fatter part.
Okay.
So that's likely the 70 centimeter portion of the antenna.
Okay.
And so the 2 meter portion is the longer part, and then the 70 centimeter part is somewhere baked into that. Or they use a series of coils. There's all kinds of ways that antenna manufacturers get it to resonance on those bands of operation. But here's the big takeaway I'll give everybody. Get the antenna you like. This sounds dumb, but Leia just laid down the Yaesu because the diamond antenna makes it really top heavy.
And it does.
It'll fall over.
Yeah, you can feel that it's not stable
standing
up.
It's a fantastic antenna if you want to pick up, you know, a repeater that's kind of harder to get. Great for that. A good receiving antenna. On my my Kenwood, my THF6, which is a tiny little radio, I actually have like a Wuxian clone Chinese antenna. I'm not recommending this antenna, but it seems to work okay. So by and large, the antenna that you should go with is kind of going to match how you're going to carry the radio, how you're going to operate the radio. If this is going to go in, you know, a belt loop or in a pouch or something like that, then you want to literally put it in that pouch and consider the whip that could be smacking you in the face if it's on your backpack or coming up in your armpit in the case of that long Yaesu antenna. Mm-hmm. The Abri antennas, right? Those fold-over tactical antennas. These guys are pretty big, right? They look like measuring tapes.
Yeah, so your Kenwood has a much shorter antenna on it, but it still operates.
Yes.
It's still resonant on the same bands.
Yes.
That this very long diamond antenna is.
Yeah, so there's a couple of reasons for that. And I don't know how any of these antennas were manufactured. I'll just say that up front, right? So I don't know how they built
them. Why don't you break one open?
We might do that one day. We might do it with this Wooshin actually someday. But
let's do it right now because podcast is the best medium for showing people how you're taking something apart.
So I assume that these are all like quarter wave antennas, but I could be wrong, right? I could be wrong. But I assume that there's some like usage of coils of wire in here. So it could be affecting.
Is this a less effective antenna than this one?
Good question. It definitely will be a less effective receiving antenna.
Huh.
So
because I was going to say, if you can make the antenna shorter, don't you just always want things to be more compact?
If that's your use case, then your portability is going to be of a higher value than that big flippy diamond antenna that's very heavy.
Is that why people really like the Abri? Because of the length, makes it better for receiving.
So here's one of the Abris. This is 42 inches when it's extended. Boom. There's no radio that can hold this up. You have to like mount this on or hold it. You know,
and that's really good for satellites too, right? Because of the okay.
No gain. So we'll talk about gain in a second because people bring that up all the time. But so they the Abri, when it's fully extended, seems to do a lot better job as a receiving antenna than all the other antennas that I have. That antenna is
because
very,
it's very,
very
long.
Because it's by and large, that's probably the reason why it's a better performing antenna.
Because you were saying that this is the receiving side of an antenna, so if it's longer, wouldn't it have more area to receive from?
That's a fine way of looking at it. That's fine, but you know, you got to keep in mind too that it's supposed to be a quarter wave. In the case of the Abri, it might not be a quarter wave. It could be a half wave. Could be a full wave on 2 meters. Actually, if you think about it, the way it's how long it is, right? That's over a meter, basically.
And that would really affect the resonance, is what you're saying.
The resonance, yeah. So okay. What frequency it would operate on. So we've all been talking about that, right, with your band plan discussion a bit beforehand. Now let's talk about gain for a second, because people bring up gain a lot. The gain of an antenna is going to be most appreciable. It's okay. Don't fold it down. Just give it to me.
I'm going to fold it.
Okay. It's clicking on the... Okay.
I'm going to fold it. You're okay. So worried because
I'm
every
just
time...
I'm worried about the audio. It's just click, 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 click.
I thought you were worried because every time I try to put something that is bendy back in its original...
Yeah. It's like having you put a tarp away. It's not a good
or
idea.
Or that tent, that pop-up tent.
Oh, my
tent.
God. That pop-up tent. No bueno. You did a great job, by the way. Fantastic.
You should see if that tent antennas.
Yeah, it's not because it's all fiberglass poles. It's not metal poles.
That's too bad.
So no, it will not antenna. Now, so gain gets brought up a lot, and really people need to understand there's gain is gain, but I want to focus on a couple of kinds of gain. If you're talking about a Yagi antenna, like the antenna that we have on the roof, right? Multi-element antenna. Only one of the arms, if you will, that stick out of the side of the antenna is actually connected to the radio. That's the resonating, the driven element.
Okay.
The rest of the elements are parasitic elements. All they do is shape and sculpt the direction that the RF travels. That's all they do. One is like a big mirror on the back end because it's the longest. And the ones in front of the driven elements get shorter and shorter and shorter. They're like the focusing elements. So it's making the RF come straight out of the front of the antenna.
Okay.
A vertical antenna that has no elements has no directionality to it. So the gain is what's happening, and we're going to get a little bit technical here, and this is kind of hard to explain in a non-visual format.
Sure.
It'll be easier to draw a picture. But what more gain does to your vertical antenna is change its propagation. What is the term I'm looking for?
No, wait.
It's propagation
before,
model.
Before you go on, how do you get gain?
What do you mean? Like you're a smooth operator?
Like where?
Where did you say game or gain? I heard gain. Game. Okay. Game. It's like your mojo, baby. You just got to get your mojo in the antenna.
Man, I don't even know how many people still think about Austin Powers.
Oh, yeah. I just totally dated myself. Yeah. Pretty hard on that one. So the way vertical antennas get more gain is that they just make them longer, right? Kind of. That's kind of the way they do it. I'm not going to go into that. I want to explain specifically, though. It's the pattern, the radiating pattern. If you think about like a vertical antenna, you know, it's omnidirectional. It's like a bubble of RF that comes out of it.
Right.
Well, if you add gain, it like adds spikes. But where the spikes stick out further, the low points come in further.
But what gives you gain?
Usually more length.
Okay.
Usually more length.
That doesn't even make sense because you said that antennas have to be cut to a certain length for it to be resonant on a band.
I know I said this.
So how could you add more length and it still be resonant?
Like I said, I'm not really prepared to answer all this stuff. This is getting
Did
like...
Did I stump you?
A little bit. To a certain degree, to talk to it like the way I am, like bringing it down a step. Like, yes. And I'm not really wanting to talk about that. I want to talk about the pattern because... People tout the gain numbers.
Well, what about what I want to talk about?
Well, I'm just trying to get through the opening. It was supposed to be a quick little questions I get, and I'm already 15 minutes in.
Yeah,
now.
All right, go ahead.
So the gain, if you took a regular vertical antenna, and regular is also subjective, but if it was just a bubble of RF, right, that was the radiating pattern. Mm-hmm. It radiates perfectly in all directions. The more gain you add is going to add spiky bits.
Okay.
And the spiky bits stick out further than that bubble of RF you had before. Right. But the low points come in lower than the bubble of RF you had before.
Okay.
So what manufacturers will do sometimes, right, is they'll put a competitor's antenna in comparison to their antenna. And they'll favor the spiky bit of their antenna. And they'll favor the nuller spot of the pattern on the competitor's antenna.
Yes.
So... Really, it becomes like a magazine racing type of game. It's not a big deal. And I said game, not gain. It's not really that big a deal how much gain your vertical antenna has. You really want to focus on it being a good match for your radio. Now, even in that, that's tricky because we don't really know how they made the antennas. We just go to the store and say, hey, I want that one. And, you know, buy it. And that's all there is to it.
Does that explain the multitude of antennas that you have collected here?
Well, so that's also a good point. So the last debris that you looked at, right? What's the bottom of that look like? There's threads?
It's a little metal.
Okay. So this is called an SMA female. Okay. Why it's a female is there's a little hole for the pin there. Mm-hmm. That pin denotes it being a female, the hole, right?
Great.
Very masculine versus feminine. This is the opposite side. That's a male. Because there's a pin. See it?
Oh, interesting.
Okay.
Visually, I would have thought the other way.
Correct. But the radiating element is the center pin.
Yeah.
So Baofengs use SMA male cables and Chinese radios in general. Japanese radios use SMA. Wait, I did that backwards.
You're really confusing me here.
Sorry. The Chinese radios use SMA female and the Japanese radios use SMA male. Antennas. So that's why I have so many. Is every radio that you have, you got to have an antenna that
matches. So what you're telling me is that you would need for an Abree, you would need
for an Abree or for a Baofeng?
For an Abree to work on a Yaesu, it won't work on a Baofeng.
Correct. In
you
general,
you have to then get the Abree of the other gender.
You got
to
get a gender change. Gender swap. Now you can buy adapters that will do this, but I generally don't recommend buying adapters because adapters put stress points on the antenna connector spot where you could snap the SMA connector on your radio. Because if you look at the Abree again, it's got this big fat base.
Yes.
That screws all the way down on the top of the radio and it gives you some torsion strength. So you don't have to worry about the shear angle of the SMA connector breaking off.
Okay.
So what do I recommend? I'll wrap it up really quickly. I like the brand Diamond. Diamond is a really good brand.
This one that made the radio top heavy and is so long?
Yep. Diamond is a really good brand. People give Nagoya a hard time. Nagoya is the brand that's kind of like the brand most popular with the Chinese radios. I have not had bad experience with them. They're pretty good radio or a pretty good antenna.
I think there are a lot of counterfeit Nagoyas out there.
There are, yeah. And so when you buy off of Amazon, you know, that's mentioned a lot in the reviews and the comments and whatnot. Yeah. So anybody watching this, there is a link in the description for this podcast that goes to my Amazon store.
Yes.
And it links to the products that I've reviewed and like and favor. And that goes to particularly sellers that that I have noticed don't produce counterfeits or provide counterfeits to the market.
You know, this is such a tough thing for you to say.
It's tough. No, I know. It's really
because
tough.
Because of the way Amazon FBA is built, because another seller can take over a listing.
But I'm going to wrap it up with this. By the way, go look at my Amazon store. It includes many things other than antennas if you
Ham
want.
Ham Tactical,
you
know, has the same list.
Yes, yeah, Ham Tactical too. HamTactical.com. But here's my takeaway comment. Go get yourself a Signal Stuff signal stick. I am unaffiliated with this company. This company is ran by hamstudy.org. Hamstudy.org is the website that does free licensed practice training online, many other things, as well as they're one of the websites that coordinates online testing in the time of COVID. So they use the sales of the antennas to fund the free antenna, the licensing service that they have, and all the other things they do. Their antennas, I have reviewed, they are fantastic. It is the same length as this antenna, but it's super thin, and you can tie itself into a knot and reduce its overall length.
Hmm.
Very inexpensive, and it comes in SMA male, SMA female, and BNC connector. So you have all the options you want. They even have glow-in-the-dark models now and different color options for it.
Wow.
Fantastic antenna. So not affiliated by me, highly recommended though. It's the one that's on my the 705 right now that I've been using when I do 2 meter, 70 centimeter and all that other stuff. So fantastic stuff. So that's where I'll leave that.
Excellent.
So there was our opening discussion that was not so much of an opening.
That was your ham radio minute.
That was my ham radio minute. It was almost 20 minutes long. So thanks, everybody. Appreciate you sticking through that. And thank you so much for listening to us. I cut you off there a little early, Leah. How's it been going? How are you doing this week so far?
Well, today is the Chinese Mid-Autumn Moon Festival.
Mm-hmm. The time of moon cakes.
Yes. Oh, and you went to go get moon cakes.
I was the moon cake
and then I had to go out and get my own moon cakes.
Now, for I went to a proper Chinese.
You went to a Taiwanese bakery. Well,
okay, now we're throwing shade a little bit. We're throwing shade a little bit.
No, I love 85 degrees.
Where'd you get your moon cakes from?
I ended up having to go to a supermarket.
What supermarket was it?
It was Ranch 99.
Okay, so that's full on Chinese. Okay, I see what you did there.
But I had to go.
85 degrees is a proper bakery, though.
Yeah, and they normally
make better cakes. The cakes I bought were far superior than the cakes you bought. The cakes you bought were not
but
good.
They were not Cantonese moon cakes that you bought.
Two because of them they were. Didn't.
Where were they?
They were the ones that had the stamp. The kids ate them, the square ones.
Oh, I didn't see them.
Oh, okay.
Then. Yeah.
All right. Taiwanese ones are round, bubble-ish looking.
They
cakes.
Look like a moon. They actually look like a moon. Yeah.
Anyway, it's a big deal. So that's what we did this evening before we put the podcast studio together and decided to podcast. So again, thanks everybody for coming out. So that was our little change to our show format. I hope people enjoyed that. Please let us know if you like that, and how best to do that is drop a comment on iTunes would be the preferred way of doing that. So the other thing we like to do is mention the people who give us reviews on iTunes. We have 3 this week. So thank you, everybody, for the comments. First comment.
Thank you kindly.
Yeah. Great organic dialogue. And it is from 1209348756665. So the robots are watching, or they're listening. The robot army is
a Russian bot. It can't be a Russian bot.
Came for the ham content, stayed for the conversation. Thanks for keeping me entertained on flights. So he's a robot plane.
Could you imagine what aliens if they used our podcast as they were why are these humans using such old technology?
Stupid human terrestrial radio frequencies. Why not use satellite? Just so many funny things that you can go with this direction. So he said, keeps me entertained on flights. So flying during COVID, obviously a robot. Have to admit, I fall asleep at times. Yeah. So great. I guess we're Ticking some boxes there.
Same.
But you can blame that on the AI leveling and my general sleep deficit.
What is AI leveling? Is that a robot thing?
So we're using really nice microphones into like a professional grade recorder, and okay. then it goes into a special audio service that I use for mastering and finalizing the audio of the podcast.
Okay,
so that's what gives us this like cool tones that we get when we talk.
Behind the scenes here, some real BTS.
Yeah,
dynamite.
What's the behind the scenes BTS? I know what BTS is, but what is the behind the scenes?
BTS is behind the scenes. Behind
really?
The scenes.
What is
dance? BTS?
Oh, jeez. Okay.
It's the abbreviation for behind the scenes.
That's what they went for? It's kind of weird.
No, I think that the band BTS is actually for something else.
Yeah.
But I was like, BTS, and then I made a joke
about it. You made your own joke in acronym about the band that definitely does not stand for BTS behind the scenes.
I have no idea what the band BTS is about. But then I made the joke with Dynamite.
Yeah,
because
I
love that song.
Yes, I get it. Yeah. Light it up like dynamite. Mm-hmm. You don't light, I mean, you light dynamite.
You see this every time the song comes on.
Dynamite explodes. It doesn't burn. It's an explosive reaction. It actually puts out fires. So thank you.
You're telling me that dynamite couldn't start a fire?
I guess it could, but generally it extinguishes, it removes all the oxygen.
When you hear the song from now on, imagine the scenario in which the dynamite sets a fire. Okay. And now it has lit everything up like dynamite.
I don't like it. I don't like it.
Fine.
My science brain is hurting right now. Okay. You guys rock from Ray Muffet. Right on, Ray Muffet. Great podcast, entertaining and educational, very helpful for someone like me with a raging amateur radio addiction. Thanks a lot from Ray, W3RMX.
Is there a support group for you guys?
It's Radio Acquisition Syndrome, RAS or something like that. That's a thing.
You definitely have that. Is there like an Al-Anon for people whose spouses have RAS?
Yeah, it's called the Ham Radio Crash Course. I'm live every Saturday at 5 p.m. Pacific Standard Time,
I
produce video content
throughout
the week.
Is there an Al-Anon, which is like...
No, I'm the pusher. I'm the opposite of the one trying to keep you clean. I'm like, no, but check out this. Yeah.
I'm just saying, is there a wife support group where like maybe the wives squirrel away money that won't be spent on ham radios and antennas?
No.
Even if there was, you wouldn't tell me.
Nope. Gets better every week from the real Jeeper Creeper. This podcast gets better every week. Seems like it might be getting longer, too. I think that's true. I enjoy the
Your
tangents.
Your ham radio minute didn't help
either. No, that's just adding. We're just padding the whole thing. I enjoy the tangents, and it's hilarious the way Josh expects, all capitals, Leia to remember everything she's ever heard about ham radio. I'm sure he doesn't remember everything she's ever said about baby wraps.
True.
Yeah.
True.
That's true.
Thank you.
Yeah.
And you know what? I see Jeeper Creeper every week on Saturday on the live stream.
Ooh, shout out.
Yeah.
So that's very cool.
So that was really nice of him to leave a review, too.
Well, thank apparently you. He's Team Leia because what the hell, man?
I'm not even into baby wraps anymore, though. So I've got to find something else that I can...
It's ham radio.
...make you learn about.
It's ham radio.
I guess that's what I'm doing right now.
Wow, your face just totally soured, and you just became really sad looking when you said that.
I'm a little off today. Tomorrow's my birthday. Well, I guess when this posts, it'll be my birthday.
Yeah.
So,
okay.
I'm a little off today.
This is a hot transition because I'm going to throw it to you now for the email segment and be like, hey, guys. I guess we'll do the emails.
I feel like
but
maybe
instead,
I sound
I'd
a little
like you
bit
read
like...
my depressing poem that I wrote about the futility of life.
Pandemic birthdays are not great.
No, they're not.
No. Okay.
You should wait for the drive-by I have planned with 30 of our friends that are going to drive
Please
by.
Please don't. I hate drive-through birthdays. Those are... my, no offense to anybody who has had them or right. throws them. It's just not my thing.
It is fine for us not to like something that you hold dear. You can love whatever yeah. you like. It's fine.
But,
but I'm not a big fan either.
Every drive-through birthday party I have seen, people have ended up getting out of the car and hanging out in the front yard, which is not drive-through. And now you've just...
And you know the dad's expecting it because he walks out with a cooler that's already full of beer and he's just like pops yeah, it down. I mean, and he's waving beer cans at the dads as they drive by like, hey. Oh,
pull over. Pull over. This just isn't right. You can't just drive by. There's beer.
Or the dad's worse. He's just throwing them in the car at the dad. Honey, you're driving home.
Well, I mean, we're drinking wine today, so.
That's true. It's a cab, we're drinking right? a box wine. Nothing fancy. Box wine. I'll throw a recommendation out. I do like really good wine. We normally drink really good. Yeah. Okay, I'll take that back. We drink solid wines, not really good wine, like expensive wines or anything like that. I don't know enough about wines to be like that. But the Black Box premium wines, we're not sponsored by them at all. I'm just throwing it out there. Generally pretty good. The Cabernet Sauvignon in particular is a solid drinker.
I think that actually box wines are very popular with campers.
Oh,
because
yeah.
you remove them from the box mm-hmm. and you just have the bag or whatever.
And you just drink out of that.
It's solid.
All weekend. Or night, whatever you got. I don't know. It's like four bottles of wine they advertise. I don't know about that. That's the thing that always... They're like, oh, no, yeah, it's four bottles of wine here. I'm like, really?
I
feel like I can drain this thing pretty quickly.
You do. That's, I mean, the thing about these box wines is that you have no
idea. I have no gauge to know.
Like, at least with a bottle of wine.
I guess
wine,
it's getting lighter.
You can see how much you're drinking.
Speaking of that, I got to fill my glass up. Well, throwing it to you for Leia's Corner. Do you have any emails for us this week?
I do.
Excellent.
Okay. So Michael Demerit, KD9TOB, says that he can't find the link on the iTunes podcast app to leave a review.
Okay.
I want to thank you for wanting to leave a review in the first place.
Yeah, thank you.
And then resorting to emailing me instead.
Yeah, I'm not peeing. I'm filling up my glass. That's one downside of the old box of wine there.
He says that we also have very good microphones because he could hear the vaping.
That is also true.
That's funny.
For anybody that wants to know, I am using Shure SM7Bs. It's the same microphone that I use on the live stream. And I pipe them into a Cloudlifter, which is a preamp that goes into a Zoom H6 handy recorder. That is the podcast studio in a nutshell. That
wow.
is what I use.
Yeah. So portable.
Yeah, it's super portable. The H6.
Coda could be podcasts on the air.
Yeah. There you go. Well, maybe we could do that.
Yeah.
Who would watch the children? That would be fun to do.
Yeah, it would.
The cool thing about the handy recorder, I would argue that that's kind of the key aspect of it. You could swap these mics out for way cheaper mics. In fact, Shure makes cheaper mics, much cheaper mics, that you can get used that are just workhorses. Mm-hmm. Those would sound great piped into this, and then you can do whatever you want with whatever editing tools you have after that. So if you wanted to make a podcast, that's a great way to get started. And I learned that tip. That came from Mike Glover at the Fieldcraft Survival. When I did the podcast with them, he had his little table set up. It's permanently set up for him, mm-hmm. but I saw his setup, and I saw the recorder and everything, and I was like, Mike, what are you using? And he's like, dude, I'll link you to all this stuff. And I was like, dude, this is awesome. So I went out and bought like everything. Right after that, I think on the plane
home,
I queued up the Amazon. I was
Mike
influenced by an influencer. Oh my God. Influencers getting influenced out here.
That's such a terrible name. Influencers. Mm. It's just.
It makes it feels kind of rapey. Like, to me, to like a guy saying that. I mean, I know I'm talking about radios to a bunch of dudes, but like when you say, I'm just here to influence you, man. I'm just going to influence you a little
bit. But that's not really like what you're about either.
No, so I am sure there are people who like influencer fits, like they're just sent stuff and they just open it up and like talk about it. But what I talk about, I specifically really enjoy it.
Right.
I think the only time where I got something expecting it to be bad was the Abri antenna.
And it wasn't.
I was shocked. I was shooketh. It totally, but most of the time, like I buy things that I want to try out.
I'm aware.
You know.
That's what you do. Yeah.
That's what I do. I buy things that I want to look at. I make a video about them and I go, oh, okay then. All right, it's good.
But I don't think you come at things with the intention of telling people to buy them. I think you're really just trying to educate and provide information about what's out there.
There are some cases where I tell people, like, no, yeah, for sure. If you're considering something like this, you should buy this. Like the Abri antenna. Right.
But you're not.
It's $18. It's like,
right.
Go for it. The signal stick, $22. Fantastic antenna. But those are for people who are already in that market. I'm not trying to like pressure people into like buying stuff that they don't need, I guess. Yeah. And even then, it's like, even when I review things that aren't necessarily like my cup of tea.
Right.
But it's still in the ham radio space. I'm trying to think about who it's for, and I try and convey that in the video.
Sure.
Like, say, hey.
Just like that cell phone ham radio. You won't touch that thing with this. What is it, a 10-foot pole?
No, I absolutely would touch it, but I understand that they have their people they work with, and that's it, and that's okay, and that's fine. That's
so inclusive.
But, you know, hey, that's fine, too. It's okay. I get it. I'm not upset.
Okay. Then I have a message from John B. About the...
We didn't answer how he reviews on iTunes.
Oh, yes. Actually... I think it heavily depends on
you having an iTunes account.
How you're using iTunes. Like if you're listening, you should be able to go to iTunes, look up the podcast, and you could search Ham Radio Crash Course or Ham Radio Podcast. It'll mm-hmm. come up.
But
you should be able to go to the review section. There's a section that's.
Yeah, so I don't know if you have to be an actual user, like have an account with Apple iTunes or not to do a review.
I don't know.
Yeah. But I know that if you just type in iTunes, Ham Radio Crash Course, you will get the link to the website that will take you to the Apple iTunes landing page for the podcast.
And you can review from there?
You can review from there, but I don't know if you have to be a user or not. Because then you could just make some bot that would just review it like crazy. You know what I mean? If you didn't have to be a user. So I'm assuming that you have to be a user. So if you're, and by the way, let me say this again. If you don't have an iTunes account or something like that, don't worry about it.
Yeah, I mean, rate it wherever you're whatever you're using.
Yeah.
It's just.
We use iTunes because it's easy for us. We don't have to pull up individual episodes and do this whole backlog thing. Mm-hmm. If Podbean got better at this whole thing, we would just be using Podbean. But I mean, that's where we host our podcast is on Podbean. Yeah. We'd love to do that, but they don't have that yet. In fact, we should probably email them and be like, hey, what the heck? Why can't we just see like a creator panel of all the comments we get?
Right.
We would funnel all the traffic that way, then it'd be a lot easier. And that's that's an easy way to listen to as well. If you link will be in the description, Podbean, it will take you to the podcast. So.
Okay.
Okay, great.
So then John B. sent a message. I actually got a few... emails that were really trying to help me understand something that clearly did not click in the last podcast.
We're listening for the clicks now.
Yeah.
You told us.
Give me the
click
abri.
Or a whoosh.
Give me the abri so I can make the clicking.
Okay, here's one.
I'm just kidding.
Hang on to it. You don't know if you need it. Just hang on to it. It's fine.
Okay. So, John B. says, here's a great example of a capacitor. And I appreciate this so much because I have recently started baking bread a lot.
Oh.
And he gave me an example that uses baking bread.
Really?
So thank you. Okay. So
did it click?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh my God, that's awesome. I can't wait to hear
exactly.
this. Great work.
So when I bake bread, I use ceramic tiles in my oven. I preheat the oven to 500 degrees for an hour. Oh. That way, when I put the bread in the oven, the tiles will be hot enough to help maintain the 500 degrees inside the oven. If I open the door of the oven several times during the bake, the tiles help maintain the 500 degrees. A capacitor in an electrical circuit acts the exact same way. It holds onto power and releases it as needed to maintain a specific voltage.
Perfect.
I get it now.
Great job. I try to have examples like that. That is perfect. For you barbecue guys that have bricks in your barbecue wrapped in foil to retain heat, like same concept, right? Yes. That's perfect. Great job. What was his name again?
Thank you. John B.
John B. Good work, man. That was great. That was perfect.
Okay. Then I have... Okay, so there's a t-shirt idea from Matthew Anderson. He says, Leia, I just wanted to tell you how much I enjoy the podcast. It is the only techie podcast that I can listen to with my wife. The lighthearted but informative nature of the podcast is a welcome change to folks that are new to the hobby. I'm curious to get your advice on the best methods to convince my wonderful spouse the need for a new radio. I'm the wrong person to ask. I'm so sorry.
Take a crack at it. What do you think?
Lastly, I wanted to throw my t-shirt idea into the mix. And it's a pretty cool shirt design.
He actually designed it.
Yes, yeah.
And sent it.
It says, release the hands. It's got a background of a forest. And then what looks like a fox hunt.
That is pretty cool.
Yeah.
So it's horse-backed hams holding Yaggies. And there's literally a fox. And it looks like it's beaconing.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Do you like it?
Yeah.
Is this a shirt?
I'm curious how the colors will work.
Okay. You're right, though, because
it would probably be good on like a gray shirt, but then like the colors are, those colors want to be on like a darker shirt to me, but I don't know that maybe if the fox is like white and the horse riders were also white.
Okay, so we've got to workshop this a little bit more before you say okay to this.
Yeah, all right. But that is a cool idea. It's literally like a forest backdrop with horse riders chasing a literal fox, but the fox has an antenna that's beaconing on it. That's very cool. Nicely done. And very smart.
Not only do I like the idea of a fox hunt, right? That is one of the things I want to eventually do.
We got to get into that, yeah.
I also really like equestrian fashion.
Oh, you like the Han Solo look. Yes. It's springtime or it's fall. That's when all the Han Solo ladies come out.
Yes. I mean, I don't wear the...
High boots, riding boots with the pants and a vest. True.
I don't wear a vest.
But that's
the
Han Solo
look. I like the plaids and the houndstooth.
And that little bucket.
The jodhpurs.
The little bucket hat that they wear with the brim that's absolutely worthless.
Yeah. You're talking about worthless brims.
Are you talking about my cycling hats?
Yes, I am. I am talking your cycling hats.
Bro? You serious, bro?
Okay.
You didn't answer the question. Oh, are you going to talk about how to sell the wife on a new radio?
Oh, I thought I was just going to skip right over that.
No, I'll throw something in really quick, and then you can tell me what you think.
Okay.
I think that if you're going to sell a new radio, and if it's, you know, it's a budgetary thing when it comes to like family money, that kind of stuff.
Okay.
It needs to fit into some kind of system of preparedness or being a benefit to the family.
Right. That's true.
An educational thing for your children. Mm. Some kind of thing that will work
I am a big sucker for that.
Yeah, you see, I'm hitting all the boxes. But I know you pretty well. So like I'm hitting the Leia boxes. He will obviously have to have something that resonates like an antenna with his wife, right? So having a radio that, hey, this will, you know, I'll have it all pre-prepared. It'll be charged and they'll have a little card on the side of it. You can take that with you, you know, and then you'll know if there's an emergency, what to do with it, right? Boom. Points, right? There's an educational aspect. I can show little Timmy here how this works and we can blah, blah, blah. Right. Or maybe he's in Boy Scouts or scouting. Maybe it could be little Jenny.
Scouts.
And they're all in Scouts together.
Yes.
It could be a radio badge aspect, or maybe you want to be the radio person of the troop or whatever. Right?
Matthew?
Am I wrong? The system argument, right? You can't just be like, hey, my lady, I want to buy a new radio. You down
with that?
Yeah.
Just make a trade.
Oh.
If she can get something that she wants, you can get your radio.
So he buys a vacuum. No. I bought this for you.
No.
This is for you.
Something that she also really wants.
I airbrushed
that is just
your name on
for
it.
Her.
Okay. Oh, okay.
Yeah, that is
This
not...
is your whole handbag tally thing that you're keeping, right? Is what's going on right now? You just need to have a running total of dollars, like how much is spent. No, but they could be working on a budget, but they're also probably like working on their preparedness or something like that. So, you know, that fits in that world.
Sure. If it's something that his spouse values, mm-hmm. right?
Here's what I would say, though, as a guy to another guy or partner to another partner.
Sure.
Don't come off as like, here's the used car salesman pitch on how we're going to make this work. Let me tell you about how this will improve your life. You know what I mean? Just say like, just matter-of-factly what you're thinking.
Yeah.
And work through it like a discussion. Not like a, I need 10 minutes of your time. I got a PowerPoint.
Yeah. I really want this radio. Mm-hmm. It can be my gift for the next 3 Father's Days.
That's a thing.
Yeah.
That's a thing. That would work.
That never works, though.
Because I buy my radios that I want.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess it all depends on how much control your wife has over the money.
Yep. This is probably true.
Okay. So good luck with that, Matthew.
Good luck, Matt.
Yeah, and...
Godspeed, sir.
Let us know what this radio that you're trying to talk your spouse into buying.
Yeah, sometimes I want
to
know a little bit of more background. Yeah. Like, give us a little bit more.
I really want the Flex radio when you're like...
Yeah, I'm like, well, geez, man. Honey, it's a $4,000 radio. What's your problem? Well, there's this Kia that I was looking at. It's also $4,000.
Is that how much Kia is?
No,
I have no idea.
Not anymore, but yeah, anyway.
Okay. The next email is from Philip D. Holster. I almost read that Hustler, mm-hmm. and I think that had to do with earlier in the podcast when you were talking about Game.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, baby, yeah.
Yeah. Philip D. Holster says, "Hi, Leah. First of all, very fun and educational podcast, especially the interaction is nice to hear. Very funny sometimes."
Yep. Nailed it.
Just sometimes.
Sometimes.
You guys really have to taste beers from the ultimate beer country, Belgium in Europe. Toppers are Duvel, Omer, Chimay, Triple Carmelite. Mm-hmm. I'm so sorry. I'm butchering this. I can't read European names for anything.
And that's kind of like saying I can't read Asian names for anything. All the Asian countries, very different last names.
I'm just...
You say European. There's like so many different dialects.
And I'm saying that I am universally ignorant, except for maybe Spanish. But even the Spanish that I know is not like Spanish from Spain.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
So, and awarded as the best beer in the world, Trappist Welsvelteren. I thought the best beer in the world was, what is it? The one that's only available in February.
Pliny.
Yes, Pliny the Elder.
That's an IPA,
and Pliny
though.
The Younger.
I mean, no, those are good beers, but it's not like the best in the world.
Well, what about the one Delirium Tremens?
That's a Belgian.
Right?
It's not from Belgium, though. Like, so Duvel or however you pronounce
we
it.
We have had Duvel.
We've
it's
had most
fantastic.
Of them. Chimay, of course you have Chimay.
I haven't had Omer.
I might have. I don't know. By the way... aside from stouts, my personal favorite beer is Belgian beers.
I do like Belgian beers,
yeah.
too.
It's. I think there's a misnomer that because it looks light, people assume that Belgian beer is light.
Oh, he gets into that. As these beers are easily between 8 and 12 degrees alcohol, enjoy with care.
Yeah, no. and that's a big deal. The Belgian beers appear light and very effervescent, and they're really fun to drink, and they taste amazing. But they're big beers.
That's what I like about them.
Oh yeah, no. And they have a very good like yeast profile to them. There's a very specific yeast profile to a Belgian mm-hmm. beer that I really like. But no, yeah, that was one of the first beers I ever brewed was a Belgian beer. Well, again,
you know, we're like in the middle of Oktoberfest season, right?
I know.
And we haven't even done anything Oktoberfest related.
I was thinking about that. I was like, what am I going to do? Because I'm
home. Am I failing?
I was just going to get
part of the kids' culture.
I was going to get the kid. What? I'm not really German. I was going to get all the cat cups from the side yard and just stack them up in the living room and then just get drunk and then crash through them and then make you clean it up.
Yeah.
And then Oktoberfest.
So our kids
again, that's
found...
that's Southern California Oktoberfest. That's not real Oktoberfest we're talking about. That's like Alpine Village special right there.
Yes. Very Americanized Southern California.
How can we turn this into just the absolute abuse of alcohol?
So our kids found our last package of red Solo cups.
Cat cups.
And they decided they would start making cat cups and just started filling cups, walking through the house and then putting it where the cats normally get fed.
And if you are confused what the term cat cups means, as much we are too. We don't know what they're for.
And I was like, what are cat cups? And they were like, it's cups for the cats. And I was like, cups?
Yeah, no, I got that.
Cats don't drink out of cups.
Right.
You need to put it in their drinking dish.
Right, they can't really get their head all the way down.
And they were like, well, we're just going to fill it from the cups. Duh.
Of course.
And I was like, but why not?
You noob.
And they were like, because then we'll just be able to pour it. I'm like, but then the water will be old and have end up with like things in it, like dust.
And then Edison looks at you and goes, but they're cats. What do they care? I've seen them drink out of the gutter.
No. Edison is like so thrilled when the cats will let him pet them. It is just.
I was so mad the other week. Ben. Oh, we didn't even talk about the cut. When Ben cut himself?
Oh, with the bread lame.
Oh, my God. So Ben cut himself with a razor blade last Sunday.
It's thinner than a razor blade, actually.
Well, okay, but that's the closest example of it. Yeah. Cut himself pretty bad.
Yeah.
And he shouldn't have been playing around with it. It's put away in a place and it has a sheath on it. He purposely took it out in a moment where we weren't watching him moment.
And they never touched the knives
never,
like that.
Ever.
I mean, like, they...
I don't know. I don't know why. I don't know.
I think he didn't realize because a lame...
I think he seemed it was small and so he could, like, handle it or whatever. But, oh, my God, it's, like,
it's, like, the
sharpest
thing.
Yeah, it's sharper than a razor blade. You said that, not me. I wouldn't... I think it is a razor blade. Whatever. So I'm holding the kid's thumb... Right? I'm trying to calm him down. I'm holding him, and I've got his thumb. I've got some pressure applied to it.
And this he's like, I could really use a drink from the cat cups, Dad.
No. Yeah, I was like, I'm a little parched. I was like, because I needed my phone or something, because you had gone.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, Edison.
I didn't just disappear in the middle of an emergency. I went to go
get wound closures. Oh, you yeeted out. You're like, I saw blood. I'm out of here.
I went to go get wound closures.
Specifically, the thing that I ran out of was the skin glue.
Oh, yeah. The liquid adhesive.
I literally just threw that away a couple months ago because it kind of congealed up and it wasn't effective anymore. So you went to go get that. I needed my phone. So I'm like, Edison, where are you? He's in the backyard. I know he's in the backyard. And I'm like, Edison, I need your help, man. Come help me.
This is an emergency.
Like,
all hands
what?
On deck.
He walks inside. What? And he's literally holding Wilma.
The so cat. Upset you have interrupted his Wilma time.
Because he was just gone. I know he could hear me because I was yelling to him. And he's like, I'm holding the cat.
How dare you?
So that was
priorities.
Jesus, Edison. But yeah, he ended up helping me. He put the cat down and helped me out. So that was good.
He won't stop talking about it either.
What, holding Wilma?
I'm just kidding.
Oh my God.
That kid holds a grudge, though. That's for sure.
He's four.
Yes.
That's not good.
It might be too much fun otherwise talking about how high the alcohol concentration is.
Oh, yeah. No, they're serious.
Maybe all hard to come by in the USA, but definitely names to remember. And if you get the chance, go for it. A matter of keeping the podcast up to standard.
I don't disagree.
Get That's tossed.
Good. Yeah.
Be sure to continue with your unique format. It's a relief in the ham podcast world. You're also being listened to in on country. I'm not sure what that is. Belgium, Europe.
What is he in Belgium?
Yeah.
He's saying he's listening in Belgium, I'm assuming.
Oh, is that what being listened to on country means?
Let's go with that.
Okay.
I'm willing to go with that. I'm willing to take that stretch.
And that's ON7FD, Philip.
Nice.
Thank you
so
much.
That's like an international email. Is that like the first international email you've gotten?
I'm not sure.
I mean, out of the Americas.
You have a pretty international audience. Oh, for sure. I feel like.
Yeah, for sure.
I mean, I was on your Discord chat the other, and I was like, so many accents.
Oh, we got a lot of Australians.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
and
thank
this is the
you,
right
Philip.
Time, like they're coming out right now.
It sounds like what Philip is suggesting is that I continue to get lit while testing.
Yeah, well, it's good that Philip mentions that because we're going to roll.
No, I have,
oh, we have one
more.
Yes.
Okay. So
I want those hot transitions. I want those crispy transitions. I'm trying to be a proper podcaster here.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry.
I'm just kidding.
What's the frequency, Kenneth? I don't know what that means, but it's
from like REM.
I don't remember that song.
What's the frequency, Kenneth?
No. But it is from Michael Essex. And thank you, Michael, for a song lyric that clearly spoke to Josh.
What, isn't it REM?
It says, hi, Leia. Love the show. And I want you to get frequency and wavelength. Here is a website that should help. And I will throw in a ham band chart. This is the kind of thing that is totally obvious when you get it and have been doing the transformation in your head for a while. Remind Josh that things are a mystery until they are obvious. Michael AD0L, he lives in Vista, North County, San Diego.
Yeah, we've been through there.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I like Vista.
Yeah.
That's a
cool place.
Nice, yeah, exactly.
Cool people doing cool things.
So,
but
yeah,
actually, it's totally REM. So yes, I looked it up. Yes.
Great. So Michael is actually the reason I was looking at the band chart, and I was just looking at it, trying to figure out how the numbers associate, right? And I'm like, how is 2,200 meters, or I don't even know how you would say that, 100 and 35 kilohertz, but then 630 meters is 472 kilohertz. Like that, mm-hmm. That doesn't make sense.
Okay.
Because it doesn't rise together. But then 160 meters is 1.8 megahertz. I just...
So what? Okay, well we're not in the main show topic yet. But did he help you out a little bit, or what did he?
He got me to the point where I was like, I've just got to draw a diagram, Josh, and you tell me if I'm understanding this correctly.
Did he give you a diagram, or what?
No, he gave me a band chart.
Oh yeah, so we'll talk about band charts in a little bit here too. Who was that from?
It was from Michael Essex.
Okay.
So I read that. That's my last email, and now you can do your crispy transition to me.
If you tell me that I'm doing a transition, it can't be crispy.
Now I guess I'm transitioning.
Okay. Good work, by the way. Solid.
Thanks. Yeah, it's solid transition.
Solid
so transition. Professional.
So yeah. Good.
So I went to go open the Ham Test Prep app and found,
I got bad news, guys,
that it had not only wiped my test in progress, I have no test history.
So what happened was Leia's iPad just went through a big update. All the iPads, iOS devices of the last couple of years got a huge update.
And they decided F your ham radio test scores?
F it. F all of it. So you get to start over. I would like to say that you were passing at the point that we... last.
So I think maybe Apple is trying to communicate something to me here.
Yeah, don't get into radio, buy our products. Well, of course they're trying to do that. That's just what they want you to do, Leia. How dare you buy into their propaganda that they're trying to give you?
You are one of the biggest Apple fanboys.
I love it for when I have to go do Apple things, edit videos. Yes.
I am so deep into the Apple products right now.
It pulls you in so hard.
And I was so against them.
Hard.
I was so Android.
You got the
core.
iPhone and you're like, I gotta go back. I gotta go back to an Android. This is just not for me. This is I can't do it. And I was like, well, hey, what if I give you this iPad?
Well, you gave me the AirPods first.
What if I give you these AirPods?
I was like, okay, whatever, AirPods. They're all right.
But they were kind of like my hand-me-down AirPods, and their batteries are pretty crap.
Yeah.
And they're like, well, what if I give you this iPad? And then you're like, oh, okay.
It introduced a whole new functionality.
The pencil, I think.
well, completely no, just killed you. How everything communicates, mm-hmm. like between the two. I can be doing something on my phone and then it shows up on the iPad really seamlessly.
Nothing we are saying here is not something that Android doesn't do. I appreciate that. But the integration on the iOS side is seamless. It's very
well. The iPad is much better than a Android tablet,
right? To like an Android phone or whatever,
right? And then I ended up getting an Apple Watch.
You elected for this, though. I know. You elected, so you are done.
My fitness tracker died, mm-hmm. and I was like, oh, forget it. I don't need a fitness tracker. I have a phone. And then throughout the day, because I'm handling this homeschool schedule, mm-hmm. to make sure, like, Ben is getting back to class after every break and that I'm able to track when I need to feed him, which is so many times a day. Do you even know how often
did you consider
eat?
My hamster pellet idea that we talked about? An automatic feeder and we just spit out mama noodles. Just spit them out on the table in a bowl. We just shoot them out.
He might actually like
that. Yeah, he would be down. That's what I'm saying. This is why I recommended it. I understand all parties involved in this
situation. It wouldn't help Edison, though.
No.
No, exactly.
He's playing with cat cups.
So, cat cups. We should show him how he could use cat cups. Oh, so there's like a bunch of these cat cups filled with water on this table out there. And I was like, I'm just going to take some of these and water my plants. And then he flips out on me. He was like, those are cat cups.
These are Dixie cups, by the way, just so everybody follows.
No,
this is like
cups.
Plastic.
They're solo cups.
Oh, but okay. Solo cups. The plastic ones, like party cups.
And he's like, those are not for plants. Those are for cats. And I'm like, you can just get them water from the sink when they need water. And he was like, no, now I have to fill up all these cat cups again.
You like will rue the day.
I have undone so much of his hard cat cup.
Oh, my God.
Why, child? Okay, so I guess we're starting a new test.
We are. We're 56 minutes into the podcast, and we're starting a new test. So dive in, Leigh.
Okay.
Here we go.
Do you want the test? Yes, I want them randomized.
It really doesn't matter for you, but I do randomize, but it doesn't matter.
Okay.
You want immediate feedback. Did you click that and all that stuff?
It didn't ask me.
Oh, interesting. Okay. So hopefully it won't auto-advance, because we don't want it to do that.
Okay. Well, let's just try the first one,
yeah,
and if it doesn't, then we'll just skip this week.
Yeah. We're already in pretty deep.
How should you respond to a station calling CQ? A, transmit your call sign followed by the other station's call sign. B, transmit CQ followed by the other station's call sign. C, transmit a signal report followed by your call sign. D, transmit the other station's call sign followed by your call sign. D.
That was very confident.
Because you were supposed to identify that you're talking to them.
Mm.
Right? Before,
and you're asking me like I'm going to help you.
Okay. Yes. Transmit the other call sign followed by.
Now, I
sign.
Will say I was worried that the question would do that. It did it. And I don't like that.
What?
I would just rather you throw out your call sign. Just throw your call sign out.
But then how would they know that you
because
were.
Because yes. This is a very VHF, UHF thing. If you're on HF, just throw out your call sign. If somebody's calling CQ, just throw out your call sign. Just throw out your call sign. They know what their call sign is. Why? Like, yeah, I know you're replying to them, but if they can hear you and they hear someone calling back in their call sign, mm-hmm. they're going to reply to you in your call sign. They're going to say back your call sign. You
well, this
are blah,
is
blah,
different
blah.
From what you told me when we were operating HF.
I told you to give back your call sign once we've established a contact. Just for clarity's sake, for the cadence of a contact. But how you kick off a reply to mm-hmm. a CQ on HF, just give your call sign. You don't need to like complicate it.
I'm very confused now.
No, okay. Let me say this. Okay. The answer that you picked is right. If you do that, no one's going to be upset.
Okay.
But here's your problem. If you're trying to pick up that Saipan station that I've been trying to get for the last couple of weeks.
Man, you will not give it up about this Saipan station.
If I'm just keying up and giving their call sign back and then my call sign, they're not going to listen to that. They know what their call sign is. And there's a bunch of people trying to work them.
Mm-hmm.
So if there's a pile up of like 18 other people that are all trying to work the same station, and you're giving them their call sign back and then giving your call sign.
The Saipan station like the pretty girl at the club.
I guess, yeah. A little bit, I don't know. But that's a specific case. What it was saying, so again, this is the technician test. So this is for people that are going to operate VHF, UHF. Mm-hmm. And yeah, absolutely. Give them their call sign and then come back with your call sign. But at the same time, it's kind of a, that's sure. The answer. You nailed okay. The answer. I'll leave it at that.
All right. When is an amateur station permitted to transmit without a control operator? A, when using an automatic control, such as in the case of a repeater. B, when the station licensee is away and another licensed amateur is using the station. C, when the transmitting station is an auxiliary station. D, never. Never. Never.
Never.
Never. What telemetry information?
It's kind of a metal lyric. We can make a metal song out of it. Never.
The way you said it.
When is it allowed? Never.
Edison does like metal.
Mm-hmm.
He is a metal baby.
Yeah, I gotta get some ideas for Mike. Be like, Mike. So my son's 4. Really? Got a 4-year-old.
Really into metal.
What kind of metal would you recommend for a 4-year-old?
And then he's like,
I'm
Barney.
Tired of nap time. Never.
He's like, have you checked out Barney's metal album?
I love you to die.
That's not good for kids. That's not.
But nicely.
Still.
But I still love you.
You should not go into metal. Let's just stick here.
For 4-year-olds. Strictly 4-year-olds.
What telemetry?
That or Batman. I guess I'd go as Batman or metal at this point. I don't know what I'm doing or, you know, whatever. Hey, whatever.
You can go like to Vane. Is that his name?
Vane?
Vane. Is that?
He's so vain.
No. No. What's the bad guy? Bane.
This villain isn't exactly about you.
What dilemma?
He's so vain.
Get through the test. What telemetry information is typically transmitted by satellite beacons? A, the signal strength of received signals. B, the time of day accurate to plus or minus 1/10 of a second. C, health and status of the satellite. D, all of these choices are correct.
Ooh. This is a tough one. I think this is kind of tough if you're just going in blind.
Signal strength is going to be my guess. No, health and status of the satellite.
Telemetry is purely health and status of the space vehicle. That's what it's for.
There's a lot more satellite information in ham radio than I expected.
Because that, like, so we talked about amateur radio satellites, and it may actually be the patron picks episode of the month. Satellites is a fantastic thing to do when you're a technician because you get access to something, a repeater in space. So you can literally make contacts with people in other states easily,
right?
100 miles
We've
away from you.
We've talked about this.
This is fantastic.
So much.
I just can't
Are
say
you
enough about
still,
it.
I know why you're bringing this up every time.
I just can't tell you. It's a learning experience for children. It's
You're
an emergency preparation.
You're not getting a satellite antenna. You're not getting another antenna on the roof. It doesn't matter if you bring it up on the podcast, on the live stream, when you're taking a shower, when you're doing the dishes. It doesn't matter.
He's so vain.
What is the impedance of most coaxial cables used in amateur radio installations? 12 ohms, 50 ohms, 8 ohms, or 600 ohms?
You should know this. We have talked about this.
It's 50?
It's 50. 50. Oh, yes. I'm so... Yeah. Click the thing. Click it. Click it. Click it. Click the thing.
Click the abri.
Just see if you can do it like that. Just like.
This one's not as clicky as the other one.
There you go.
You clicked it. Now it's clicked for
just
you.
Just like this.
But it
just
hasn't clicked for me.
Just click that.
I bet I could do it on this one then.
Now do this one. No, okay, give me that one back. That's fine.
That one's just throw that in the trash. It doesn't click at all.
Yeah, that's it. That's it. Okay, I got it already. You've been clicked. Don't take more clicks than you earned.
I earned a lot of clicks. What do Races and Aries have in common? I have to bring this up right now because every time I see these two names, I think, God, this is so racist. It's like racist and like Aries, like Aryan.
Oh,
and
my God.
It's just like very off-putting for
Not the
me.
God of war or anything?
No.
Aries?
No. No.
And Races is just...
Yeah, like racist.
Oh, my God. Okay, so... Neither one of those have anything to do with that, Leia. Wow.
Okay. A, both organizations may provide communications during emergencies. B, both organizations broadcast road and weather information. C, they represent the two largest ham clubs in the United States. D, neither may handle emergency traffic supporting public service agencies. So I'm going to go with A.
Yeah.
That both organizations may provide communications during emergencies. And that is a correct answer.
And that was a no-brainer question.
Yeah. So I'm at 5.
Oh, very good. Okay.
Boom.
All right. So
that was pretty good.
Leia,
did I get all those right?
No.
Oh.
You missed one.
Which one did I miss?
Telemetry.
Oh, yeah. That's, I'm not going to get the satellites.
You
stuff
will.
Yet.
You will.
I'm getting better, though.
Oh, you're getting so
those,
much better.
Were those dummy questions, though?
Yeah, those were stupid
okay.
people.
Okay.
No. No, of course not. The telemetry question, though, is like, you wouldn't know that unless you actually... And even... Okay. Most amateur stations are not dealing with the telemetry of the ground station or the satellite to begin with,
mm-hmm.
particularly on the FM satellites. So it's kind of a... You got to be in a particular niche of amateur radio satellites, satellite stuff to pick up the telemetry for a passing bird. So it's okay.
Did you say a passing bird?
Bird.
Bird?
Bird.
A passing bird is what you call a satellite?
Yeah, we call satellites birds.
What do you call planes?
Smaller birds. Or just lower birds?
What do you call helicopters?
Whirly birds. You set me up for that one.
What do you call blimps?
Floaty birds? Gassy birds? Gassy birds.
What do you call drones?
AI birds, I guess. Robot birds.
That's who left a review for us.
It was a drone when he's flying. That is unsafe for a drone to be flying while sleeping. I'm not peeing. I'm filling up my glass again.
Oh, my God.
I don't know if anybody can hear that, but I assume they can. That was a little loud.
I can hear it.
It was aggressive. Oh, you heard it over the monitor?
I think so, yeah.
Okay. All right. So here is the topic of the day. Now that we're an hour in.
Maybe we should drop the topic.
No. Of course not. So, Leia, you have gone back and forth on this topic, and a lot of people go through this. Like, a lot of people have discussed the what is the relation to frequency of your radio to
yes.
what we call in meters, the meter bands, 40
I mean, honestly,
meters, 20 meters, etc.
It appears to me that the easiest shortcut would be just to look at a band plan when you're operating
mm-hmm.
and just memorize the band plan for the test. Like memorize how...
So, yeah, are you talking about mapping the frequency to the band?
Yeah.
Yes. Yes. So I will answer that easy question. Yes. Those are just straight.
But there is a formula.
Kind of, right?
It's a complicated formula.
No. No, not at all. It's not because so the thing you have to keep in mind, and I'm pulling it up again because everybody has like their favorite thing that they do. If you took the frequency that mm-hmm. you wanted to operate on. And yeah. you kind of latched onto 40 meters. So we'll stick with 40 meters, and I'll give you an extra little nudge. So break out the calculator on your phone. Okay. And so if you took where the voice portion of 40 meters started or starts, it's 7.175 megahertz, and divide that by 300. Let's just start with that.
7.175 divided by 300.
Mm-hmm.
That's 0.0239. So that's 2.4 megahertz.
No, we're okay. Bringing it into meters.
I have no idea.
No, okay. So we're taking the frequency of operation and we're turning it into meters.
Gotcha.
Can you flip it? So 300 divided by 7.125.
That's not what you told me to do before.
Okay, I'm sorry. My apologies.
Yeah.
Aren't you the math person here?
42.
Okay, so that's like 42 feet.
42 feet?
Or 42 meters. Okay. Sorry, 42 meters. Jesus. Now you're making me freak out here.
Maybe so you should stop drinking.
That's like 42 meters.
You have California poured yourself twice already.
I've got a California pour of wine here. So that's like 42 meters. Okay.
Okay.
So if you were to spool out 42 meters of wire,
mm-hmm.
right, and you put it up in some capacity, right, if you had like a half wave NFED or something like that,
mm-hmm.
you could then test its SWR rating for how resonant it was on the frequency. Now, I already said in the name half wave NFED, half of that total number that you came up with.
Okay, so then divided it would be 21.
So you take a wire that's 21 meters long and you connect it to the little matchbox for your half-wave NFED, and you connected it to your antenna analyzer, it would show you where the resonant point is.
So wait, what is a half-wave NFED? Is that a dipole? Or?
No, it's a special, it's its own antenna.
Okay.
Special antenna.
What does it look like?
It's a little box with a little iron donut with wire wrapped around the inside. That box.
Oh, I saw that on the HRCC buy sell trade. Is that the donut that the guy was selling that was wrapped in wire?
Yeah, that's likely either like, a
electric donut.
Yeah, forbidden donut. It's likely a half wave NFED or a 9-to-1 Balun or Unun. Sorry, 9-to-1 Unun, which we talked about last night when we were doing the newsletter.
What's an Unun? I thought it was a typo.
Nope. She did make me talk through that. She's like, what is an Unun? I kind of heard Balun, but I've never heard of an Unun. So let's break it down even further than that into simplistic dipole terms. So take that number again. What was the number? 42 meters or so?
It was 42, and you said the half wave would be 21.
Well, so we know what a dipole is, right? Mm-hmm. A dipole ultimately ends up as a half wave antenna.
Right,
so
but we're on two sides.
But it's cut in half again. So it's a quarter wave on each leg. So it's a half to begin with, and then you cut that half again in half.
Right, but in a dipole, don't both halves just connect to the same pole?
Yeah, but you need the positive side and the negative side of the dipole.
Right, but it's still an equivalent amount of antenna length.
Okay, so ultimately, yes, but you're building a half-wave dipole. Dipoles are half-wave. Half wavelength of the frequency you want to operate on.
Right.
So if we know that the operating frequency is 1.175, and then we convert that into physical lengths, mm-hmm. we can take that physical length, cut it in half, because it's a half-wave dipole, and then cut that frequency in half for each legs of the dipole. And those are quarter wavelengths on each leg.
Okay, so I'm a little bit confused because what you're saying is if you want to operate on 7.125.
Okay.
Right.
Or 175 is where the voice portion begins for generals, but.
Okay, well, I calculated that a little wrong, though, because I think I put in 7.125.
Oh, my God.
So terrible.
It's fine. Again, we're going to get to the point why it doesn't really matter in a second, but keep going.
Okay, so what you're saying is if you want to operate on a specific band,
mm-hmm.
you need to calculate how many meters it is, because then you need to create an antenna that, in the case of a dipole, would be each leg of the dipole is a quarter of that wavelength.
The physical representation of that wavelength.
Right. But what happens if you need to go to another band?
Oh, you're asking all the right questions. But before we get off of this topic, I want to be really clear. So we're building an antenna, right? We're pretending to build an antenna.
We are not building an antenna.
We're building a satellite antenna.
No, we are not.
It's not for 7.175. Okay, so dipoles, again, are half wavelength antennas.
Right.
But each leg is one quarter wavelength.
Right.
Okay.
And those need to be straight.
You're asking questions on questions. We got to take them one at a time. So your space that antenna is going to be resonant on, you're going to cut the links of it for 7.175 megahertz. And that is the point of resonance where your radio will see that and be perfect, you know, close to perfectly resonant and be able to put out the RF. Okay?
Okay.
Now, if you were making a vertical antenna, it would be slightly different. It'd be, you know, all kinds of varying things. But what I wanted to talk about, and we can answer your questions as we go into this, but you take whatever the calculation is. So we use 300 divided by the frequency of operation, 7.175. Everybody uses a different number. Like, there's another one here.
Where did the 300 come from?
It's the number that this works out for. That's the number that we use. But
you
there's
use
also
it for everything?
No. So, okay. So, so hold on.
What's
so hold
happening?
On. So I'm looking at a vertical antenna calculator, right? And it's saying 234.
Oh, so it varies. So the 300 is only for the NFED you're talking about.
No, we were talking about a dipole, but.
No, but okay, so the 300 is only for the dipole, but an NFED would be totally a different number that you're dividing by megahertz.
This is why I'm going to get to it doesn't really matter to a certain point, and this is
then
where it's going to come up.
Why am I learning this? If it don't matter, why am I learning it?
No, it will. So this calculator I'm looking at is for a vertical antenna. Vertical antennas are quarter wave vertical elements with radials underneath it, the antenna on the ground. Like a vertical, like mm-hmm. a whip antenna, right? Sticking up out of
okay.
the ground. So it's saying,
because that is a bubble of RF.
Yes, okay. Generally. So it's saying, take the number 234, break out your calculator. Let's do this. 234 divided by 7.175. And tell me what you get in meters or feet, you know, depending on what you want to calculate.
What do you mean, depending
okay,
on what I want to catch?
Just give me the number.
It's 32.75.
Okay. So that's factoring the feet conversion. So the 300...
What do you mean that's factoring? Oh, because you started in
right.
feet?
Well, no, because it's just a number by megahertz. We didn't start in feet. But that number, 234, divided by that frequency, gives you 32 feet about.
Then you've got to convert it to meters?
No.
What?
Hold on. We're building an antenna. I think I'm confusing you more than I'm answering your question. I feel really bad.
Why would we move between two types of length measurement?
Oh my God. What a great question. Because in this country, we use imperial system, which is feet versus meters. And
right?
So we're all talking to each other about 40 meters. But at the end of the day, I got to pull a measuring tape out of my toolbox and it's in feet. So I got to convert
that. I have a newsflash for you. Mm. Your measuring tape has meters on it.
Some
it's
do.
The other side
some
of the
do.
Measuring
some don't.
Tape.
Some do, some don't. But yes, you're generally right. So you can do this all in meters. But okay, so I'm going to take another sip here and then I'm going to explain.
But so I guess what I'm confused about is obviously the megahertz doesn't change. Mm-hmm. So when you're looking at whatever that number you're going to divide by, mm-hmm. that's determined by the type of antenna it is, mm-hmm. right? That is given in essentially for a feet calculation instead of a meters calculation.
in this case, that 234, when you take it and divide it by the 7.175,
right.
the number you get out is the feet measurement. But if you did the 300, that might be more like meters. I don't know. I'm not ready for that right now.
There's just no way that that same number would convert to the same feet and meters.
Probably
so
not.
It has to have, the starting point has to be based in feet or meters.
Well, we said it was 40 meters. 7.175 is 40 meters.
Yeah, but that's the band.
Correct.
The number that you are dividing the 7.175 by to get the length for your antenna, that has to be based on whatever measurement system you're using.
That's true. And that's what this is in the 234 is for feet.
Okay.
So you get back 32.61 feet or something like that.
Yeah.
So you cut a wire for that length.
Okay.
And you go and set it up. It's a in this case, it's a vertical. So you have a vertical antenna. It's 32 feet up in the air. And you got all these...
A 32-foot diamond whip.
32-foot diamond whip. It's longer than an abri. And you got that flapping in the wind, or you got it, you know, set up. And you got all these wires underneath it. That's the negative portion of the antenna connection, right? There's a positive and a negative. Right, so those are all the ground wires are called radials, and they connect to the negative side. Now, all these calculators, why I'm saying that it doesn't matter so much is because when I cut this, I would cut like an extra foot on top of whatever the calculation was. Because I have a device, and a lot of radios have this device in them as well, that would show me where the resonant point of that antenna is. And it's a lot easier to cut antenna off than it is to put antenna back on.
Right.
So I would rather just know what the resonant point of the antenna is. And again, the resonant point is that little dip mm-hmm. that shows where perfect resonance is at. And then I'll just walk it in until it's perfectly on the
so
frequency
it's,
I want.
It's essentially an estimate.
Yeah.
Right. But what are the factors that prevent it from being a perfect measurement?
Great question. So if we're talking on vertical antennas, the thickness of the wire.
Huh.
So how thick that wire is, the gauge that you build the antenna out of, is going to affect your SWR, where the resonant point is. And SWR, for people that I'm throwing out acronyms, standing wave ratio. That is the point where the measurement, the best measurement that an antenna can be is a 1:1, one with a colon and a one. That means that all the power that you're getting to that antenna is getting out of that antenna and hitting the atmosphere is RF. Realistically, that's scientifically difficult in a real world mm-hmm. situation. So a 1.5:1, really good. 2:1,
because
not bad.
We talked about cable loss too, right?
This is even before the cable loss. But yes, that is also a factor of this, of worrying about and thinking. It's all a consideration because you're losing power through the feed line that goes to the antenna mount to that point that you connect the coax mm-hmm. to it. So you lose a certain amount of power even before it gets to the antenna. Then it gets to the antenna and you have potential loss or reflections. This is a new term that I'm throwing at you. There's a reflection ratio based off of how mismatched your antenna is.
Okay.
So you're at a 1.5:1, meaning it's pretty close, but there's a certain amount of that power that's getting reflected back because mm-hmm. it wasn't a perfect match kind of thing.
Gotcha.
Right, and so that what gets factored back in and sent back out eventually. So the overarching question of like mapping a frequency to a band from the point of taking the test is a little bit of memorization. You do have to memorize that. But at the end of the day, it does factor into the actual antennas that you're going to use.
Hmm.
Because there is an equation, which we walk through some of them, that leads to you actually cutting a wire that will be resonant on the frequency you
want
to use.
But in the examples that you've given me, it sounds like the meters are actually irrelevant for the, calculation, because you're saying that there is a number that's being provided mm-hmm. for you to then divide by the band you're trying to access.
Because we're using feet to cut the antenna. We could call it the something feet band instead of the something meter band, but mm-hmm. we don't. We call it the 40 meter band because at 7.175 megahertz from the starting point of the wave to the peak to the valley back to the starting point is 40 feet long. That was the other part, right? You drew that picture out.
Yeah.
And we walked through that whole thing.
But that doesn't sound like it actually correlates to the antenna length.
Oh, it totally does. Because you could take 40 meters in antenna length and convert it to feet if you wanted to make an antenna in feet. It's really just a conversion of whatever measurement system you're using.
Oh, so this convoluted number that you're using is just a result of us using feet.
Yes. Okay, so sorry. I thought I said that a little bit. I thought I explained that, but I apologize. So yes.
Why not just do everything in meters?
I don't know. I have both metric tools and standard tools, and I don't even know why we call it standard. I don't even really care. I just have all the tools. Okay. But like, do you get it now? Meters is just a measurement of distance, of length. And I can take that same length and measurement in meters and convert it to feet, and it's the same distance, but it's just in feet. Feet and inches.
So if I didn't have to convert to feet, what you're saying is, if I know what the meters are, right? Like I know the band, and I now know the wavelength, right? The meters that it's supposed to be on. That if you're using a half wave, then for at 7.175, it would be a 20 meter. On an NFED and on a dipole, it would be a
20 meters
meter.
Cut in half with two parts, 10
right,
meters.
So it'd be each leg would be 10 meters.
Yeah, we're simplifying it a bit, but yeah, basically.
Okay. I got it.
Was there a click?
I mean, I understand physically how this works, but I guess I was more looking for the mathematical calculation of how from the megahertz you are determining the meters.
Again.
Instead of having to memorize the band plan.
Again, though, that's the drawing you did where there's a start point at the center.
I know what it looks like physically. What is the actual formula? Like if I were to plug in the megahertz, what is the formula to calculate the meters or vice versa, right?
Okay. So there's a calculator for that. Of course there is. The frequency to wavelength calculator.
Mm-hmm.
So if I type in 7.175, and these are all Google searches I'm doing.
But this is
megahertz.
This is not a calculation that hams are making as they're operating, is what I'm saying. Everybody
no, because
just memorizes
we've already built,
the
no, well, no. Okay, I see. I see what you're doing. Okay. So there's an aspect of this that we have to like bring in the FCC a bit for a second, and then the frequency spaces were allocated.
Right.
We have an allocation space.
Right.
The space that we're operating on is hams. Is a smaller subset of the 40 meter band, if you will.
Right.
Right. And even when you go to the 80 meters or the 20 meters, whatever, we have a smaller subset of that.
Right.
But when I tell you hop on 14.275 megahertz, you know you're in 20 meters.
Right. Because you've just
memorized your allocation.
But well, you've memorized that based on the band plan.
Right, and that's why we have band plan charts.
Right, but I actually need to know that for the test, so I have to memorize the band plan.
To a certain point, yeah.
Okay. There's just not a math that I can do, is what you're saying.
Well, I mean, yeah, you could work it out.
It's more complicated to work it out than just memorize it, it sounds like.
Okay, so here is, here you go. Here's the formula. There you go. I'm handing her my iPad. Look at the bottom there where the equation
lambda
is.
Lambda equals C over frequency.
Right. So there's the speed of light involved to the actual calculation of when you convert the frequency into a distance.
Oh, okay. All right.
Was that actually what you wanted?
Yes.
Oh, shit. Okay. Sorry.
I mean, we've been talking in circles to get to this point.
I thought I was trying to make it practical and get into, like, measuring an actual antenna. But, yeah, so it's the lambda, which is your wavelength in meters, equals your speed of light, which is...
That's a standard number.
Speed of light doesn't change. It's constant. Divided by frequency.
Gotcha. Wow. Okay. That's it.
I think I overcomplicated this whole thing.
Yes. Woo. I was like, why is this, like, formula, like, just so, like, difficult that nobody is? Because I vaguely remember calculating wavelengths and everything like that in calculus. And I'm like, this is not a complicated equation.
No.
But, like, what is it?
So, I got it.
I got it.
So
But let me get back to the original question that I had about... Now you've cut an antenna for a specific band. Mm-hmm. What if you want to access other bands?
Oh, this is... Okay. When you cut a dipole and you put a dipole up, that is pretty much what it's going to work on. That's it. It's going to be for that band. Okay?
So if you want to then... Okay, so let's talk about...
Keep it a dipoles to start, but let's say you wanted to add a band.
Okay. So 20 meters, 40 meters. Mm-hmm. Right?
Right. So
now you're using two different antennas?
No. So here's the...
Okay.
Here's some radio magic. So let's say you cut a dipole for 14 meters. 20 meter. That's the... Or sorry, 14 megahertz. That's the 20 meter band.
I was like, you cannot now tell me 14 meters is equal to 20 meters.
Sorry, no.
This is not a world in which measurements are worthless.
I apologize. 14 megahertz. 14 megahertz. You cut your dipole for 14... Somewhere in the 14 megahertz space, which is 20 meters. And you have it all connected to a center point. We call that a balun.
Okay.
And then the coax connects to that. Well, you say to yourself, I really want 40 meters. So you make yourself up some elements for 40 meters.
Okay.
And they are 40 meters, cut that in half and half again. You end up with 10 meters of wire on each side.
Yeah.
Okay?
Okay.
You just take those N pieces of wire, connect it into the same balun as the 20 meter. And then you take some insulating something or other, some kind of insulator, and separate the elements... by a couple of inches, so they're not touching.
Okay.
Separate them up and get them up in the air. When your radio transmits on 40 meters, it only will transmit on the 40 meter dipole that's connected to that balun that you have in the backyard.
Okay.
When you switch to 14 megahertz, it will only transmit on the 20 meter portion of that antenna.
Okay.
That is a fan dipole. So you built a multi-band dipole right now.
It's like a Yagi dipole?
No. There's no gain.
Okay.
A Yagi implies gain.
Okay.
There's no parasitic elements. I mean, technically,
the
40-meter
like
portion
is... If you could join a Yagi with a dipole, that'd be pretty.
But that's what a Yagi is. It is a dipole that has
that's what I just
elements
said.
Added to it. No, but it's okay. A Yagi has... The elements are very close to the band of operation.
Okay.
In length. A fan dipole, the distances and wires are so different from each other that they don't really interfere.
Okay. Gotcha.
They don't cause problems. Now, I said N-fed half wave earlier. Now, an N-fed half wave is one...
You said that the N-fed half wave is that coil around a donut.
The box, the matching unit, as we call it. The little box where the donut goes into with the wire is called a matching unit. The coax goes in one side, and then a really long wire comes out the other side, and often another little radial wire that trails on the ground or whatever. So with an N-fed half wave, you get multi-band capability, but it's because of the harmonics of the ultimate end length of that wire that you're using.
What? That was a whoosh.
Yeah. So the wire, so if you had an 80...
Okay, wait, let's go back. Mm-hmm. How does the donut relate to this?
The donut helps you get into match with the 50 ohms impedance of your coax.
Okay.
Because when you're using
like
a dipole...
to prevent line loss?
No. It's to get it in line with your radio that is expecting 50 ohms.
Oh man,
you want to click the antenna or no?
No, there's no clicking right now.
Okay, well let me leave you with this. The half wave NFED is a multi banded antenna, generally.
Okay.
Generally, not all the time, but generally. It depends on what that matchbox is made up of. 49-1 unun will be a multi-banded antenna in most situations based off of the wire you connect to it. And you're using the harmonics of the wire that's connected to it to resonate on the frequencies that are outside the total length that you want to operate on.
This is bananas to me because people are literally starting with like what looks like a walkie-talkie.
I know. And it just goes like
what the hell just happened?
Yeah. Hang on to your butts, kids.
Okay. Well, I think we table this.
Let me wrap this up by saying there are many off-the-shelf half-wave NFED antennas you can buy that give you multi-band capability.
Okay.
Right? So you can have almost all the bands on taking a little box, feeding it with coax, and then putting a wire up in the sky.
Okay.
And it gives you 80 through like 6 meters all the way through there.
But how do it do?
It's based off of the harmonic. So 80.
Yeah.
And 40.
Right.
Half.
Right.
40, 20, half.
Right.
But then you have odd harmonics like 30 and 15
mm-hmm.
and 12 and 10. 20, 10,
mm-hmm.
half of that. So there is a harmonic relationship to your radio being able to just say, I'm not going to acknowledge the rest of this wire. This is the part that I'm going to work right mm-hmm. now. And then work on that. It's basically, that's very simplistic terms of how to think about it.
Okay.
Very simplistic.
I understood the simplistic portion of it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, that's, thank you. I think that's how we'll leave it.
Great.
How you doing?
My brain is buzzing a little bit, I think.
Was it fun?
Yeah, so fun.
All right. Well, thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me.
Anyway, everybody, thanks so much for listening to the Ham Radio Crash Course podcast. Check the description again. We've got the Amazon store. We have hamtactical.com for the merch for the channel.
Oh, you didn't even talk about the new shirt.
Oh my God, the new shirt.
You love that so much.
So Leia, this was last week's email.
Yeah.
Last week's email was saying we need a shirt for the ham radio appliance operator.
It was Steve Owens.
Steve Owens came up with a great idea, which we turned into a shirt, and it was you and I. We collab. Yes. We did a collab.
Yeah.
This is a collab. You know, between
Josh
Leia and I.
Actually drew the
I drew
radio
the antenna and the
antenna.
And the radio.
Yeah.
And that is what is on our shirt. And it looks like a union seal for your local appliance operators.
Yeah, it's appliance operators, local and
FN and something or other. Or what
it's
was it?
Wherever the original
Marconi.
Marconi had the first transatlantic radio communication.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's established in 1991, which is when technicians no longer had a CW requirement to get their license.
Right. So now they're appliance operators.
Yeah.
And that, did you buy me the zip up?
I did.
You bought me the zip up hoodie?
Yeah, I did.
I'm so excited. I am going to wear the heck out of that thing. I am so excited. That is one. So far, that is probably... The thank you for Contact 73.
Yeah.
Definitely one of my favorite shirts. But this one is like...
You were so excited. You were so excited on the podcast.
I was excited carrying it through to the creation of the radio. Like, I was in. I was like, she needs me. This is my moment. I got to get in here and create. I got to be a creator and make something of value.
And it was so much better than the PowerPoint drawings you do. I mean, wow. That was...
Wow. Thank you. That's... Wow. Such high praise.
That was an ICOM 7300 you drew.
I did. Yes. I drew that. Yeah. Man, that was a lot of fun. So please check that out at hamtactical.com. Do we have any other links? Of course, the YouTube. Please subscribe to the YouTube.
Yeah.
And, you know, give us a little thumbs up. Think about it this way. Subscribing is free. And yeah. If you don't like it, just unsubscribe.
Right.
No big deal. But that's, you know... Supports the channel, helps us out, and we have a lot of fun out here.
The channel's yours. Doesn't help me out at all.
Oh, my gosh. Well, with that, I think we will say 73?
73.
All right. Take it easy, everybody. See ya.